Chris, you've been doing some work on leak detection in pipelines. What exactly are you looking at?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different areas we've been looking at as far as leak detection goes. We've been focusing primarily on external leak detection technologies. The two major projects that we've been working on are in-ground leak detection project, and we have an airborne leak detection project as well. The primary focus has been on leak detection for buried liquid hydrocarbon transmission pipelines. Our clients are Enbridge Pipelines, TransCanada Pipelines, and Kinder Morgan, and so their focus has been on their liquid hydrocarbon pipelines. The two main technologies that we're looking at are the in-soil buried cable-based systems, and the other one's the airborne systems.
Well, how are leaks detected at this point?
The current technologies that are used for leak detection generally use the simple method of, well, I say simple, but that's not entirely true, but of looking at measurements of what's inside the pipeline, so measuring the flow at point A and then measuring the flow at point B, and what comes in must go out the other side, and if they're not equal, then that infers a leak. There are some pretty sophisticated methods that use computational pipeline monitoring or modeling where they actually look at computational models of the fluid in the pipeline. The problems that they have with those technologies, and they work very well for larger leaks, but there's a bit of a blind spot at the low leak rates. And so these external technologies are intended to sort of supplement those technologies and find the really small leaks.
So that would be in ground. What about the air leaks?
Same thing with the airborne. That's a periodic monitoring thing. So again, it's the hope is that they'd be able to find very small leaks by flying over periodically, and eventually, over time, a small leak becomes a large amount of fluid, and then perhaps there's enough information making its way to the surface that these technologies might be able to see that information. I guess maybe I should back up a little bit and talk about what those technologies actually are. So why don't I start with the in-soil technologies? As I said, we've been looking at the cable-based technologies. There's four technologies that we've been looking at primarily. Two of them are fiber optic-based, so it's a fiber optic cable, and one of them is distributed temperature sensing. And so essentially what that is taking a fiber optic cable and turning it into a series of thermometers or temperature measurements along the length of the fiber optic cable and inferring leaks based on temperature changes of that fiber optic cable. The second fiber optic based technology is distributed acoustic sensing, where it's taking that same fiber optic cable or a similar one and measuring sound at discrete intervals along the length of that fiber optic cable. And again, in that case, it's looking for either sound or vibrations caused by a leak.
And are these new technologies and you're assessing them, or are these ones that are already in use?
They're in use to some degree. As far as for pipeline monitoring, not as much as for other applications. The distributed temperature sensing has been used in downhole applications and some other applications. The distributed acoustic monitoring has been used a lot more in the UK and largely for intrusion, third-party intrusion monitoring. One of the advantages of the acoustic technologies is, of course, they can also hear sounds of mechanized digging near the pipeline, and so they get early warning that there may be a precursor to a leak rather than measuring the leak itself as well. So that's another advantage.
Would that be, say, someone who's with a backhoe and they're digging something up and they don't realize there's a pipeline there?
That's exactly right. Some pipelines run past farmers' fields, for example, and so it could be even as simple as a farmer's tilling his field and getting closer to the pipeline than he intends. And then as far as the other two technologies, I guess the other cable-based technologies go, they're hydrocarbon sensing cables, and they're electrical cables whose properties change when they come into contact with the liquid hydrocarbon. And the fourth technology is a tube that's hydrocarbon vapor permeable, and they periodically draw out the air and run it past a sensor and measure for hydrocarbons. And when they see a peak in the hydrocarbon, they infer a leak from that.
So what is your role in this?
Right. So CIFR, what we're trying to do is the pipeline operators are interested in trying to, of course, improve their leak detection technologies, and that's something that they've been tasked with. And they're hearing about all these new technologies that are emerging, and lots of claims are being made about their capabilities. So our role has been to try to evaluate whether or not these technologies can actually perform as well as they claim. So it's one thing to, you know, read what a vendor says that their system can do. It's another entirely to measure that it actually does do what it says it's going to do.
So these new technologies, are they the ones you just described to me, or are they something different?
Yeah, these are the four main technologies we've been looking at, these external cable-based technologies. And what we did is basically we built a big sandbox where we buried a chunk of pipeline, made specialized leak ports in it, and buried these technologies around that pipe. And over the course of a week, we make sort of lab-based leaks in this big sandbox using real diluted bitumen from an actual pipeline. And at the end of the week, we gather up the data from the vendors that tell us when they saw a leak and when they didn't see a leak. We compare that with when we did actually leak and have some information on how well they performed given those conditions.
So there's a lot of proprietary information that you can't go into, but are you finding that these things will work?
I guess what I can say is I think there's potential for a lot of these technologies to supplement the existing leak detection methods. So they certainly have potential to be a game changer for those very small leaks.
Are they things that will be more expensive or less expensive, or is expense an issue?
That is one of the concerns with these cable-based systems. To install them on an existing pipeline is a real challenge. I think, you know, some vendors think that it's not too hard to do, but I think one of the problems is digging near an existing pipeline is something that is not such a good idea in general. It introduces new risks like damaging the existing pipeline. So I think for these cable-based systems, the primary focus is on new construction pipelines. There is an interest in seeing whether or not they can be retrofit, but the primary focus is on new construction. And I think some of the operators are starting to do pilot projects and showing some interest in this.
So if we took a historical perspective, how has leak detection changed over time?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess it hasn't changed a whole lot. In the last little while, there's been a lot of focus on it. I've been to a couple of conferences where people are really talking a lot about leak detection, more than ever before. And I do think that there's definitely a drive for continuous improvement in leak detection. And as you know, the news media, there's a lot more news reports about pipeline leaks, and there's a lot more interest in avoiding pipeline leaks because new construction that's being desired. And of course, the regulatory bodies are always looking for continuous improvement from the pipeline operators. So they're constantly looking to improve their technologies as well. And I think even the internal methods, the pipeline monitoring, there have been improvements as well. They're constantly trying to find ways of finding smaller and smaller leaks and more quickly and more accurately.
Now, you also mentioned that there's airborne leak detection, and what you mentioned before involved flying over. So are you essentially just looking for, oh, there's a leak on the ground?
Well, they do currently do that as well. I guess one of the things that they currently do to some degree is monitoring through visual monitoring. And so they do fly the right-of-way and look for leaks in that sense. These airborne technologies, however, are intended to be a bit more automated than that. The two main mechanisms they're using are one is looking for temperature changes at the surface caused by a leak, and the other is looking for concentrations of volatile organic compounds, so actually looking for vapors that have made their way to the surface. The advantages, of course, are that then you don't have to see the big oil slick. It can be earlier warning than that. And the other advantage to the airborne technology over the cable base that we talked about is, of course, that retrofitting is a non-issue. You just fly over the pipeline and you can upgrade your technology on the airplane periodically. The downside, of course, is it's periodic. It's not a continuous monitoring. It's whenever they happen to fly over the line is when they might detect the leak. But again, in terms of retrofitting, doing this for existing pipelines, it's a lot more cost effective.
So in essence, what you're doing is you're flying over a buried pipeline, but you're able to detect from the surface what might be going on below.
Yeah, that's the intent, and that's what we've been trying to establish is whether or not that is even possible. And like I said, these are much, much less established technologies, and they're emerging quite quickly, and there's quite a few of them that are popping out. But certainly there are companies that are developing these technologies to fly over the pipeline, and that's exactly right. Our interest, as I said, is for the buried liquid hydrocarbon pipelines. For above-ground pipelines, things are just a little bit different, but it's the same problem. It's certainly a lot harder to find when it's buried, though, because, of course, it takes more time for any vapors to make their way to surface, as well as any temperature changes.
So would that be detected through like infrared?
There's like I said, there's the thermal imaging methods, which include, you know, a few different types, and then there's also flame ionization detection, so looking for vapors, and again, there's a few different types with lasers and such. There's a few different methods, but all those sorts of technologies get used.
How long have you actually been doing this project with your sandbox pipeline?
Oh, boy. We started the initial project in 2011, I think it was, which was more of a literature review looking at what vendors' claims about these technologies were. And then for the last, it's been about 4 years since we started the construction and built the box and started doing the actual lab testing. So it's taken quite a fair amount of time. Every test we've done, we've learned more things and had to think harder about what we're going to do in the next test. So,
boy, that's really long and involved.
Yeah, it's been a big project. It takes a fair amount of time to install the soil in a representative way. So with the cable-based systems, the testing we're doing in Elder, the External Leak Detection Experimental Research Facility, it takes a significant amount of time to compact the soil, install the soil, set up the pipe, install the sensors, continue laying soil, and then there's a week of testing. And then it takes a fair amount of time afterwards to safely clean up the dilbit-soaked soil afterwards as well. So it's a fairly involved project. And then there's a tremendous amount of data we generate. And so looking through that data is also time-consuming, and trying to make sense of it takes some time as well.
Where is that facility?
It's right here in our building on Roper Road in Edmonton.
And who are your clients or your partners?
Oh, yeah, the joint industry project is funded by Enbridge Pipelines, TransCanada Pipelines, and Kinder Morgan Canada. So these companies have banded together. I guess this is another important thing about this, is that it's an ideal candidate for a joint industry project, because it's a problem that any pipeline operator has a leak. They all pay the price.
Well, it's interesting that the companies would come to CFER as opposed to going somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a bit of a track record for doing large joint industry projects, and we've worked with a lot of those clients in the past. I think we're fairly well recognized as being a good third-party testing facility doing a variety of different types of testing. So I think we were in a pretty good position to take on that job.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.